This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
I love it.
I need it.
Couldn't live without it.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons, 3 till 6 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on this Monday Drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad. And even though we've had almost a full day to reflect on what we saw NC State do in Dallas yesterday, it hasn't really sunk in yet that the Pack is in the Final Four. It's still difficult to process that and to make sense of it, but here's what I do know. There are a lot of people you should feel happy for today. Kevin Keats going from being on the hot seat to some suggesting he should receive a lifetime contract from NC State now. Gary Hahn still being unretired and enjoying his final ride as the voice of the Pack.
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
Certainly, you should feel pretty happy for these players. However, the audience a sports show like this serves are sports fans. And having grown up 20 minutes from Raleigh and being the son of a State fan, there is nobody I feel better for today than Pack fans. Pack fans, this is your time. This is your day to celebrate. If you'd like, we'd love to hear from you. 336-777-1600. Because Pack fans are back in the conversation locally. They are relevant, on par with Duke and North Carolina. That's what these last few weeks have done for them. They have real ammunition, real arguments to throw at the other two. Theo Pinson said on his podcast a month ago, seconding what many Carolina fans have said for a long time, State's not our rival. Not our rival. Why? Never beaten us in a game that matters. How about the ACC Tournament Championship game? Duke fans, talk to us when you win anything. Win something before you talk to us. Well, now they have. Beating you not once, but twice in the month of March, ACC tournament, and now in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. It'd still be a remarkable achievement. The greatest thing that's happened since the 80s, since 83. If the Pack did this and beat Pittsburgh in the ACC championship game and beat Houston, let's say, yesterday, but the fact that it happened through Carolina and through Duke, not once, but twice, does add to the significance of it. Duke and Carolina, their fans, they can't really play the history card anymore. This is something you learn when you start to get to know college recruits, high school players who are 16, 17, 18 years old. They don't really have a consciousness for anything prior to them being 10, 11, 12 years old. So when State or when Carolina and Duke fans say, yeah, but win a national title. Ha! We won in 2015 and won in 2017, respectively. To a high school kid, 2015 and 2017 might as well be 1974 or 1983. They would have been 8 or 9 years old, 7 years old in some instances. The age of the kids that we're talking about here. Also, NC State fans could easily clap back and say, oh yeah, you guys did all that with your last coach. Roy Williams and Coach K, they're not around anymore. And last I checked, Kevin Keats is the one coach in the state of North Carolina that has won an ACC championship and made it to a Final Four. Nobody else can say they've done that as a head coach yet. So you've got that, State fans. You've got that, and even if you're fuming and upset just at the thought of this as a State or a Duke fan, you've got to give them their flowers because they've got that. They've earned that, and they've gone through your squads in order to achieve that. There's no fan base locally that deserves a run like this more than NC State fans. I say that as an East Carolina graduate. Pirate fans, you have that NC State win in the Peach Bowl in the 90s and many more great wins in football. And when Lincoln Riley was there and Ruffin McNeil had it going, you had some really top-notch achievements and back-to-back conference championships under Skip Holtz. Sorry, you had the 2013 CIT, which might be something you mock if you're an ACC fan, but if you are a Pirate basketball fan, that's a real significant deal for their program. You've had good things happen. Wake Forest fans might hear that and say, why do they deserve something and we don't? You won a football championship in the last two decades, Wake fans. In the 90s, you won several ACC titles with Randolph Childress and Tim Duncan. NC State has not had something in football or basketball that made them nationally relevant since the 80s. Since the 80s. And the thing that is brutal about being a State fan and what made them until this month the most tortured fan base in all of college sports, they're never bad. They're never so bad that you could be apathetic about them. So bad, like, say, Vanderbilt in the SEC, where you're hopeless. You're never quite that. But you're just good enough to give you hope. And as Haywood Brown once wrote over 100 years ago, one of my favorite sports quotes when he was covering a boxing match, the greatest tragedy in life is not that you lose, it's that you almost win. And nobody captures that more and captures that distinction better in college sports, or at least did, than NC State. That's where NC State stuff came from before being extinguished for good. So I feel great for them today. Feel very good because they deserved this. NC State officially back their fans back in the conversation locally, relevant with Duke and Carolina. On X at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of the show. WD, a lot's happened since we've last done a show. Check out our YouTube exclusive content by searching The Drive with Josh Graham. Since we haven't been on the air since the Tar Heel season ending, let's spend a few moments on that. Yesterday must have been hell for North Carolina fans. Your team was upset in the Sweet 16. And then you got to watch your two rivals play in the Elite Eight with one of them guaranteed to go to the Final Four. Sheesh. WD, you're a Carolina guy. Who were you rooting for?
Oh, of course I was rooting for NC State. That's a no-brainer.
Over Duke?
Of course.
So it's been a rough few days for Carolina fans. But let's spin it positive. Carolina shouldn't let the sour feeling at the end of the year take away from an objectively positive season. This year was not a failure. You hear some people saying that. In fact, it's more than likely a building block to something greater. This year, a building block season to something greater, perhaps a year from now. For one, Hubert demonstrated that he's got the juice as a coach. There were real questions a year ago. Yeah, was that Final Four run a fluke? Hey, he missed the tournament after being preseason number one. How did he respond to that? ACC regular season title after missing the tourney. And in the 20-game ACC conference schedule era, nobody had a 17-win season or better. Carolina went 17-3 this year in conference. He won ACC Coach of the Year and deserved it. And a big part of the reason he deserved it was for the offseason moves that he made that were as bold as they were thoughtful and brilliant. Sure, you could criticize, oh, well, Cormac Ryan, Harrison Ingram, they didn't come from tournament teams. They fit beautifully into what Hubert wanted to accomplish. It wasn't easy to move off of a guy who hit that shot to extinguish K 2 years ago when he was the leading scorer of your team a year ago, but he did that and then got Elliott Cadeau to reclassify, and it completely paid off. One of the big critiques of Hubert Davis in his first couple of years, he didn't play the bench enough. Didn't play them enough to develop. This past year, he did. And those guys are going to develop into real contributors next year. Seth Trimble, we already saw it towards the end of the year, the way that he plays defense, and he hit a couple of threes in that Alabama game. He's only going to get better. Jalen Washington, what's it going to be like when North Carolina, most of the game, has five guys on the floor who are a threat from three-point range? Elliott Cadeau, supposed to be a high schooler this past year. What's he going to turn into? Seems like a NBA prospect for sure. Harrison Ingram. No reason to think he's not going to be back. What's next for him stepping into a leadership role, you might think? That's enough to be excited amid losing Armando Bacot.
Armando! Rondo.
Cormac Ryan and probably RJ Davis too, considering how bad this draft is. Plus, don't forget, Hubert is a top 10 recruiting class coming in. It's the best class since 2020 with Caleb, RJ, Dayron Sharp, Walker Kessler. You got Ian Jackson coming in to replace RJ Davis. He might be the best recruit that North Carolina's had since Harrison Barnes over a decade ago. You've got a top 10 recruit in Drake Powell in the front court, probably going to come off the bench a la Nasir Little in that 2019 team. This is probably going to be a top five team in the preseason. Like, you could still add through the portal with some of the losses that you have. But with the returning pieces, there's a lot to be excited about. And the reason you're excited is because of the steps that were taken this year, the positive steps that made this a building block season. So don't listen to anybody who says that this year was a failure. Objectively, it was not, considering where this team was a year ago and how much better of a spot they are sitting in today.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Just like the state of North Carolina, from a sports perspective, at its best, when it's not just Duke and Carolina being good, but NC State and Wake Forest being competitive, I feel similarly about the North Carolina sports media ecosystem. So Joe Giglio joins us from Ovius and Giglio a couple hours ago. They're doing great work covering the tournament and covering what NC State's done. Few are doing, in terms of volume, what our next guest has done recently, David Glenn. David Glenn Show, North Carolina Sports Network, dropping by. Find his coverage over the weekend with what NC State's done and adding necessary context to that. DG joining us now. DG, you'd often point out how long you've covered the ACC, saying 30-plus years, 35, whatever the number is now. I don't think you've covered an NC State ACC basketball championship. I certainly don't think you've covered an NC State Final Four run. So who do you feel the best for today? Who do you think of first?
It's a great question, Josh, and it's always great to be with you. My answer is I am excited for those Wolfpack fans who weren't old enough or weren't born yet when the Wolfpack cut down those nets in 1974 and 1983. Because some of my closest friends who are Wolfpack supporters will joke, hey, wait a minute, DJ, you started covering the ACC in the fall of 1987, right? And the Wolfpack's last ACC title was the spring of 1987. So they're like, you show up, and for 37 years, we don't win anything, which, of course, is a joke, and we don't believe in such superstitions.
No, I don't think it's a joke. I think it's for real. I think that's what we learned.
Every fan base has their Looney Tunes and their conspiracy theorists, but the Wolfpack fan base has some of the most knowledgeable, passionate, loyal, show up through good and bad, thick and thin. And I wanted, especially the younger ones, or even anybody younger than I, pretty much, I wanted them to have their own thing. That doesn't mean you forget 74 and 83. There's only 15 schools that have multiple NCAA titles, and the Wolfpack's on that short list. But this is something of their own. Whatever happens in Arizona, man, they broke the 37-year ACC title drought. They have broken an even longer Final Four drought. And they have done it with one of the most magical runs to the Final Four in the history of an NCAA tournament that started in 1939. And that is not an exaggeration. You know the deal. Nobody lower than an 11 has ever gotten to the Final Four seed-wise. And the Wolfpack is an 11 this year. They are doing something only five other teams in the history of this tournament have done.
So that's, I think, a separate achievement than what NC State did in D.C. I think they're going to hang multiple banners where you have the ACC Tournament Championship and you have the Final Four banner that's going to drop. We'll see if they have a national title banner to add on top of that. But looking at those two things, I don't know if we're far enough removed from it to see what exactly is more impressive or more surprising to you, but separating the two, what achievement is most crazy? What they did in D.C. or what they've done over the last two weekends?
Man, you're a pro. I love the way you asked that question, because I think any fan would take a Final Four over an ACC title, or almost all fans would.
Sure.
But I like the way you posed the question, because to me, from my perspective, it's a clear answer, and it was the ACC championship. Because by the time the Wolfpack showed up at the NCAA tournament, they had five straight reasons and a cutting down the nets experience and the ghost of Jim Valvano and this undefinable mojo that comes with five wins in 5 days that, oh, by the way, only one other school in the history of major college basketball had ever done. By the end of that five, you have reason to believe, prior to the trip to DC, man, if you told the world you believed you were going to win five straight, including against one seed Carolina and against two seed Duke, they would have thought you were crazy. And yet those guys blocked out the noise. They obviously fought through some close calls, right? If that Michael O'Connell banked three doesn't happen, if that is Isaac McNeely missed free throw doesn't happen, we're not talking about any of this. There is no nine-game winning streak. There is no Final Four. There's no Sweet 16. There's no NCAA tournament. That's how crazy this stuff is. How do you go, Josh? You might have been nearby when I asked this question. Yeah. I asked Kevin Keats in D.C., how have you all made the impossible possible? And he loved that question. And you don't win, you don't lose seven of your last nine regular season games and then hit a magical button and find your confidence in your teamwork and your mojo. It just doesn't exist. There is no such button. But they did, and we saw what happened, and that is one of the most remarkable runs in the history of the 71-year-old Atlantic Coast Conference, just as we just have seen one of the most remarkable Final Four runs in the history of an 86-year-old NCAA tournament.
I think also David Glenn's joining us. David Glenn Show, NC Sports Network, support that. I think who you beat also plays into this. It still would have been as remarkable and crazy if it was Pittsburgh they beat in D.C. or if it was Houston they beat yesterday. But what level does it take it to that it's Carolina, that dragon that you slayed in D.C., and for the second time in a couple of weeks, it was Duke that got you to the Elite Eight?
It's absolutely enormous, and you and I have
or to the Final Four, beg your pardon.
Yeah, you and I have lived through some similar examples. I know 80-year-old Duke and Carolina fans who might not know the exact total of, you know, Carolina's six NCAA titles or Duke's five NCAA titles, but what they do know is that Carolina beat Duke on the biggest possible stage in the history of that rivalry at the Final Four in Mike Krzyzewski's final game. So of course the details matter. Of course it tastes better when your success happens at the expense of one of your rivals. So the Wolfpack has that times two, as you just mentioned, right? It's the salty tears of Tar Heel fans from Washington, D.C., and the even saltier tears. I mean, at least the Tar Heels were still a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. You stopped them short of living their ACC title dream, right? You sent Armando Bacot into the pro ranks without him ever cutting down the nets at an ACC tournament. But the Heels had games still to play. Duke doesn't. It's time to hit the golf course, right? Or head to some foreign country if you're a traveler. You just ended Duke's season after a whole lot of Duke fans rubbing it in your noses what has happened over the last 37 years for the most part, as Duke rose from, you know, they had some fame prior to Coach K, but state's drought almost perfectly overlapped with 30-plus years of the rise of Coach K, yeah, and Duke going from zero NCAA titles in the mid-'80s to five now. Right. All of that matters a lot. And it just adds to that difference you were talking about, where our state sports culture is better when more teams are good. And we you know the deal. We're the center of the college basketball universe. Now, no matter how you slice it, it's even more extraordinary when the Deeks and the Wolfpack are there to supplement the world-famous Tar Heels and Blue Devils.
I thought about this because I mentioned this on a reaction video last night that you can find on our YouTube page, The Drive with Josh Graham, that I can't think of a time the last 20 years that all four of our state's programs feel good about the coach that's leading them at the helm. So I went back and looked it up, and let's assume that John Shire is going to be there for another three or four more years at least, and Kevin Keats has secured himself for a little while, and of course Wake's happy with Steve Forbes, who's really heightened the floor on what Wake basketball is. You have to go back to the mid-90s to find the last time that all four programs kept the same four coaches for a span of more than 5 years, where you had Les Robinson, Dave Odom, and of course Kay and Dean. It's not that common that all four feel pretty good about where they're at. Now, you're going to have the dumb people who say that Hubert Davis is, oh, he's not the guy after this past year, given how it ended. And even dumber, John Shire better make the final four with Cooper Flagg, or else he's going to be on the hot seat either. This is a really good spot, it feels like, for State of North Carolina hoops. What do you make about the current standing of things? Oh, I think I might have lost DG for just a second. Let's see if we can get him back here momentarily. I hate when that happens right as I'm asking a perfect question. It's like such a great compliment, WD, when I get hit with the, I like the way that you word that question there from David.
Mentioned the last time all four schools were happy with their basketball guy.
Yeah, we got you now. We have you right back. Yeah, when was the last? How would you describe the current situation?
So I was wondering how much farther back you should go, because the Wolfpack viewed Les Robinson as a stopgap coach.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even say that they were thrilled, right? So you might have to go back even further than that span you just mentioned to truly find a time when all four schools really felt good about their head coaches. Because I lived through the Les Robinson era. Everybody loved Les as a person. I don't know any Wolfpack fans who viewed him as the long-term answer on the court. He was there to clean up some mess after the scandals and the Board of Governors involvement in the Wolfpack basketball.
The book, program. The Sports Illustrated.
Right.
Yeah.
So, gosh, you have me really wondering now, because
Bones McKinney, Vic Bubas, Dean Smith, and woo, who would have been at State? Still Case?
Well, I'm trying to remember. Obviously, in the 80s, State loved Jimmy V, Carolina loved Dean Smith, and in the mid-80s, Duke loved Coach K after being concerned about him in the early 80s.
I got to remember, 2004, 20 years ago, were State fans sour on Herb Sendek at that point? I guess maybe that's the answer to the question. He's gone 2 years after that. Wake loves Skip, K, Roy just started. I'm just saying, it's uncommon. Uncommon.
There was a time that we were 4-for-4. I would say part of the Herb Sendek era, yes, the Wolfpack fans were on board. That got crazy and nasty at the end, obviously. But yeah, I'd say the four were mostly happy 20 years ago. That's a great time frame. And you might have to go way back to find the last time they were almost entirely happy all at the same time.
David Glenn joining us here. So, how much of a chance are you giving them in Phoenix?
My bottom line is that this is the hardest game for me to pick the Wolfpack. I don't mean they don't have a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I thought they would beat UVA, for example. I thought they had I picked them to go to the Sweet 16, so I felt good enough about them. I did not pick them to beat Marquette.
Yeah, same.
But they keep proving most of us wrong. So they have a shot. You know, Purdue has three exceptional players. I'm sure you've talked a lot about Zach Edey. They have two sophomore guards. Those guys are young. The Wolfpack plays seven dudes who have been around the block. DJ Burns is in his sixth year of college, right? DJ Horn is in his fifth year of college. Casey Morsell, fifth year of college. These dudes have been around the block. And that they're the most experienced team left in this NCAA tournament. Now, that's not the only reason. You got to be good in addition to being experienced, obviously. But I thought Duke's youth showed. The biggest difference was when State got down a little bit against the Blue Devils, they didn't panic. They didn't point fingers. They didn't even get stressed out. DJ Burns is running down the court smiling about a bad referee's call, right? When Duke got down on a team that has mostly freshmen and sophomores next to senior Jeremy Roach, they did not react well. they reacted with immaturity and some panic and some over emotional play and getting paranoid about the referees. You can't do that.
Filipowski, maybe, the two fouls he got called for first right. half, maybe hitting Middlebrooks in the last one.
Younger guys fall into that trap if it's a close game. And who knows? I mean, it's tough to bet against State right now. I certainly would pick UConn over State if it comes to that. But we all have our brackets, and there's red ink on all of them. That's what makes these games so fun to watch.
DG, it's good to see you. In the chat, people are saying, when are we going to get a lovely and talented Maria update? Keep getting that in the chat every single time you drop by. It's always a good sign.
The lovely and talented Maria is beating me in my bracket.
We did an office pool, and here's the thing. I predicted this. There are people who in this office that have said, I don't follow basketball at all or whatever, and I told them at the start of the tournament, you guys are going to smoke me. It's going to happen. And sure enough, I'm second to last in the office.
By the way, Maria had the Wolfpack in the Final Four, and you don't even have to take my word for it. Like, her bracket is posted online. So every once in a while, she'd look up and say, should I take A or B? And I would give her some advice. But for the most part, she just did her thing. And it's incredible, man. Like, she just, I guess, saw some magic coming in a way that most of us couldn't see.
Lovely and talented Maria getting it done. DG, it's good to see you. Keep up the great work, NC Sports Network, and I hope to see you sometime soon.
Right back at you, my friend. Great to see you too, WD. Take care, guys.
Now he's done. It's time once again. You're on the Drive with Josh Graham.
Wellness promotions continue in the month of April at the YMCA. Visit YMCANWNC.org to learn more and sign up for personal training sessions. That's right. It is the month of April. Happy April Fool's Day. If it's not so happy April Fool's Day for you, our apologies on that.
This is not a joke. State is going to the Final Four. It ain't a joke, people.
Should have thought of that myself.
Yeah.
Joe Giglio going to join us in about 10 minutes or so, 10 to 12 minutes. Still trying to process it all. If anybody can do it, it's Giglio, considering how long he's covered the Wolfpack. Since NC State won yesterday, that means Duke also lost. It also means the Blue Devils have lost to a local rival in the NCAA tournament two of the last three seasons. And this is the part that's not fair, but John Shire is about to be put into a bad position. You could argue being the guy who follows the guy already isn't a great position when you're having to follow perhaps the greatest college basketball coach ever, at least the all-time winningest coach. But it borders unfair, the position that John Shire is about to step into. Because given that he lost to NC State, he's going to get no points, no credit for getting this team to the Elite Eight. You already have people cheapening it. You had that happening before the game even tipped off. You had people saying it's a Mickey Mouse Final Four run for Duke. Why? Because after they beat Vermont, they then got a 12 seed because JMU pulled off the upset against Wisconsin, and the Houston win doesn't count because Jamal Shedd, the first team All-American, went down, and then you're going to beat an 11-seeded NC State? Fraudulent. It's a fraudulent Duke run. And you got to remind yourself, a lot of people hate Duke. Even though Kay's not there anymore, a lot of people hate Duke. And you can tell with the way the media coverage is with them. But they're not going to get credit for it. Because they lost to their rival at NC State. Because of the track record or the path of which they got there. Just like last year. They're not going to get credit for winning the ACC championship in Greensboro because they lost in the first weekend to Tennessee down in Orlando. The reality is, John Shire did a nice job after the two losses to North Carolina and NC State going into the tournament. This roster was reeling with young players on it. It very well could have been one and done in the tournament. This team's checked out. This team doesn't believe it can win any longer. But Shire had them believing. Shire had them fighting. And they won a handful of games without Caleb Foster, who got hurt late in the year. They got to the Elite Eight. And John Shire had this to say after his team was eliminated by State yesterday. And I thought he said this well.
To be honest with you, I'm not thinking about my job in these 2 years. I'm thinking about the fact that this group just came back after having a tough ACC tournament loss and have played their hearts out in three tournament games, and they're winning at halftime, and they're heartbroken after the game because it didn't go the way they wanted to. I'm thinking about these guys. You know, where's our program at? I think our program couldn't be in a stronger place. We're just 20 minutes away from going to a Final Four in our second year.
To more than a few people, next year is going to be viewed as Final Four or bust. That's not fair on any program. We didn't think it was fair for that label to be attached to last year's Tar Heel team after losing in the national championship and being preseason number one. I'll say the same on the front end right now with Duke, but that's about to happen. Cooper Flagg coming in, best recruit since Zion, other top 10 recruits too. You're going to have people saying they should finish better than where last year's team finished, or I guess this year's team finished. And how do you get better than the Elite Eight? You get to the Final Four. That's what it's going to be. It's not fair. This isn't me saying Shire's on the hot seat because that's stupid, but there will be added pressure that should not be there that undoubtedly will, because some will frame what just happened as a failure. Why? Because they lost to NC State. And they lost in the first weekend of the tournament the year before that. And it doesn't help that Coach K finished by getting to the Final Four before Shire took the job. It already was going to be an impossible position, near impossible, to take over for that coach. But could you imagine if they won that game in 2022? If they beat Carolina, it's yours now, John. Here's a national championship, likely. And, oh, you just beat Carolina in the Final Four. What are you going to do with it?
Definitely turns up the heat a little bit more on that one.
Now, with all that said, that's a lot of defending of John Shire. I don't think he did a good job yesterday in terms of strategy defending DJ Burns. I think they overreacted to the last meeting in D.C., the previous meeting, and what DJ did on Friday night in the win against Marquette. He tied a career high in assists with 7. He had 4 or 5 assists against Duke in the tournament, so they decided not to double him. They were so worried about DJ's passing, they didn't want to double him at any point, and in doing so, you got Kyle Filipowski in foul trouble. You allowed for him to go off offensively with those moves he had in the post. It felt like an overcorrection from a previous matchup. Would State still win if they decided to double him and defend him differently? Maybe, but I felt they had a better shot trying to double him than doing what they did trying to face him man-to-man, and it cost them. That and Duke not being able to hit anything from 3 in this game. Shire, he's about to be put into an unfair position because not where they lost in the tournament, but who they lost to, who he lost to. Let's talk baseball. Actually, this might be the greatest transition in the history of this show. Speaking of Duke basketball and my Baltimore Orioles.
Who needs championships when you can look at Burns?
Oh, I've been wanting to play that for so long.
WD.
Yep.
Told me. First thing he tells me when I get into the office today.
Yep.
I'm expecting, hey, let's talk about NC State. Hey, you know, we got the Final Four. How are we going to approach this? Yada, yada. No, he said, Josh, I've had this clip pulled from the Coach K commercial. What commercial is this again?
It's a Geico commercial. It came out last year because it was his first tournament season since retiring.
WD asked me, can we just please figure out a way to work this drop in?
Who needs championships when you can look at birds?
It's him and Dawn Staley with binoculars looking at birds, clearly because he's not coaching anymore.
Every time I work the Orioles into the show, we can just hit the Coach K drop.
Who needs championships when you can look at birds?
So good.
Orioles are 2-1. Tough loss yesterday, but we need to talk about WD's teams. As Mike Wright said, how about them Yankees?
4-0. Never lost.
It was a great joke I enjoyed yesterday that does not apply to WD, but does apply to a lot of Duke fans. Cheer up, Duke fans. The Yankees are 4-0.
That's
saw
good.
That joke all over the place. Juan Soto, man. He looks good.
Mm.
Looks very good. My O's are still fine. They're 2-1.
Gonna give you a run for the division, buddy.
Then you got Hornets Celtics tonight. Grant Williams revenge game, anyone?
Possible.
17-point spread?
Oh, God.
See if we got See best bets guy, later. Yeah,
I still wouldn't want to touch that, by the way.
I might do it. I don't know. I got my LSU gear on today. There's a reason I've got my LSU gear on today. You could probably figure out that one, considering the headlines. Nobody in the media knows NC State better than Joe Giglio does. He's going to tell us what is most shocking about NC State being in the Final Four when he joins us next on The Drive. With NC State in the Final Four, we welcome in the creator of the Law of the Wolf, who was a Wolfpack beat writer for a long time. It's Joe Giglio from the Ovius and Giglio podcast joining the show. Let me start with this, Joe. The comedian Louis C.K., he had a bit where he mocked somebody for calling a basket of chicken wings amazing, saying that if you wasted the word amazing on wings, what words are you going to use when something actually amazing happens? And that's how I feel with NC State today. I feel inadequate because State winning in D.C. was already insane, and we said so. So I don't know how to even capture what they just did to get to the Final Four. What's been most difficult for you to process?
That it really happened, right? Like, almost you could understand D.C. in the ACC tournament because it was like confined in these little compartments and it was against teams that they knew. This other than Duke, you know, beating Marquette, beating a Texas Tech team that really, you know, is athletic and probably should have beaten them anyway. Oakland, who, you know, after the 3-point shooting performance they had against Kentucky, you had to be worried they could do the same thing against State. And they were pretty good. And State was able to survive against them. So, you know, it's hard to put into words. You're right. Amazing is one of them. Improbable is another. I just think it's unique. You know, a lot of people, we're selling shirts now that say, feels like 24. And I feel like that's what NC State fans should embrace. This isn't 83. It's not 74. It's 24. And this is your own now unique piece of madness. And a big part of that madness, Josh, is watching this team perform the way they did in the regular season. And you kind of wonder, well, where was this the whole time? But the truth of the matter is, other than the Michael O'Connell three-pointer, there's been nothing fluky about what they've done in this postseason. They've really just outplayed teams. And it's kind of that part of it is kind of wild if you really think about it.
How much different does this hit because it was North Carolina in the ACC championship and Duke in the Elite Eight? In other words, if they beat Pitt in D.C. and beat Houston last night, how much different is it?
Yeah, I think it had to be through Carolina, at least for the ACC title. The fact that it was Duke in D.C. as well and now Duke in Dallas to get to the Final Four, I feel like that's just kind of gravy. And you certainly wouldn't have want the alternative, right? Like, if this Duke team, which was – it was a down year for Duke to get to the Elite Eight. But if they had gone to the Final Four, you would have had that same old State thought process. Like, oh, you're good, but you're still not as good as Duke or Carolina. And it's wild to me that this is the first time, Josh, since 1983, that NC State has been the last triangle team standing in the NCAA tournament. Like, that should give people a perspective of just how good Duke and Carolina have been for the last 41 years.
You could rope Wake Forest into that as well, since Wake had some good years in the 90s and such, too. Ovius and Giglio is the podcast. Joe Giglio is with us. This weekend reminds me of the importance of supporting local media, like what you guys do, also print as well, what you're doing in the Triangle, because it was staggering to me how many people jumped on the NNO's Andrew Carter for merely suggesting State facing Duke might be more important, even though it was the Elite Eight, for the Triangle than Duke facing Carolina in a Final Four. And what struck me is, nationally, I think people get the dynamics of Duke and Carolina. I don't think nationally people understand what State fans are about. So you tell me, where does yesterday rank among significant Triangle sports events you've seen in your time being in the media business?
Yeah, I mean, it's second to Duke and Carolina because that was K's retirement, because it was the Final Four. But this for NC State, you got to think about it, Josh, and you know this. Every other year, they're celebrating something with 74 and something with 83. And those teams, 74, you're talking about arguably the greatest ACC team of all time. 83, you're talking about the team that created March Madness, right? So they have special places. But for the sake of NC State fans and their sanity, they did not need to be celebrated every year or every other year. You know what I mean? Like, it was time for NC State fans to have their own memory, to have their own moments. And I think, sorry for the ambient noise here.
No, it's great. But you're bringing up a great point. Regardless of what happens in Phoenix, where is DJ Burns in the lexicon of NC State sports figures now? Where is he?
Yeah, he's got his own spot there. You know, we talk a lot about Mount Rushmore, right? And you want to put Phillip Rivers there. You want to put a Torrey Holt there. Maybe, you know, there's other players. We just saw Peyton Wilson. The truth of the matter is, you have to win something, whether it's an ACC title or a Final Four in this case. You have to have something to show for it. And one of the dumbest streaks of all time now ends because of their ACC title. They had gone since 1992 in men's basketball, baseball, or football without winning at least even a regular season share in those three major sports. No other Power Five program had so much as done it since 2000. They were the only ones without one this century. It was so stupid that they didn't just stumble into one, right? So that gives you now your own little piece of history. And I think DJ Burns, it's funny, you know, he had obviously the big game against Duke, but he only had 4 points against Marquette. And State was able to win that game fairly comfortably as well. That's why I say this team is so unique. Yes, an 11 seed. Yes, the first team in the Final Four with 14 losses. But the truth of the matter is, they've been dominant since the first 10 minutes of the Louisville game, and save for a four-minute stretch in the second half against Virginia. They've just been dominant. They've been better than these other teams. And it hasn't been a heater from three, Josh. It hasn't been just DJ Burns. It's really been this collective effort. Mo Diarra, I feel like, and Michael O'Connell really have been the two guys who have elevated the most in the postseason.
Yeah, and I think just for sheer NIL possibilities, when this season ends, like, O'Connell, you got to come back, right? You have to come back. And Mo Diarra the same way. Like, those guys return. Jaden Taylor probably returns just because riding the victory lap, riding the same type of parade. Man, really, when you think about it, this run, very similar to what happened with Carolina a couple years ago. If you look at the belief that was instilled late in the year, I guess, with the Cameron game and then what followed that. But let's actually focus on the Final Four now. As crazy as it sounds, because State's in it and we're trying to process that, they do have a game against Purdue this Saturday. What does the law of the wolf tell us about State's chances in the Final Four, Joe Giglio?
Yeah, I think the law still kicks in here. You're still going to expect the least because of Purdue and the way that Purdue has dominated most of this season. I think you and I are on the same page that Purdue is gettable, but the whistle's going to matter, and I think it has mattered. And I think NC State, speaking of things that have gone their way, like, think about the officiating throughout this run. Last year, DJ Burns gets in the foul trouble against Creighton in the first half of that basketball game, and State was cooked. Like, they were cooked. There was nothing they could do. Now, they're a more well-rounded team this time around, But yesterday was the first hint of foul problems for DJ Burns. So you're going to have two very unique players in Zach Edey and DJ Burns who, quite frankly, get fouled more than everybody else and probably foul more than everybody else. So it's going to be really important how the game is officiated. I'll tell you, Josh, I don't think NC State was thrilled to see two ACC officials last night. I think they prefer, because the way that the other games have gone has been they've just let Burns play. And they're definitely going to need some of that against Edey. You'll remember, too, these two teams played 2 years ago. The bad NC State team lost to Purdue, who I believe was number two at the time, in overtime in Brooklyn. This was the not Manny Bates year. Zach Edey only played 12 minutes in that game. So obviously a very different Purdue team, but it's not like they haven't seen them before. They won't be overwhelmed or intimidated by Purdue.
What's your favorite non-basketball thing to come out of what NC State's done?
I think it's just an appreciation for NC State, right? It's very easy over the last 40 years to overlook them and look at Duke and Carolina. You know, Duke in particular, a lot of people who don't follow the ACC don't really understand that it used to be State and Carolina. They were the rivals in basketball. And it's changed so much because of the success that Mike Krzyzewski had.
Does that make it symbolic as well?
Yes.
That they beat Duke in the Elite Eight to do this?
Yeah, and that was the important part, right? Like, if you're an NC State fan, you're thinking all of these years, well, once Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski are gone, maybe there's more of a chance, a little bit of a clearer path, right? And I think Joe Ovius and I love to argue about that. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't follow basketball and don't know the history of the league, you would just think it was Duke and Carolina. So this finally puts State, that Duke and Carolina aren't there either, obviously helps. But this obviously gives them their own moment, their own spotlight. And it's been a long time coming.
Joe Giglio joining us on a street corner in Raleigh.
Kind of Fable Street. There's the Capitol, right? I think behind.
Hey, there it is. Oh, have you been in touch with the governor? We saw the governor tweeting out yesterday the fat State fan shirtless waving his.
Yeah, listen. The governor and I have a very good, we have a classic triangle relationship. He is a double Tar Heel. I graduated from NC State. So when it's appropriate, we give each other a hard time. You can't embrace the opposite side now. You just have to rep your team, which Roy usually does. But no, sir. No, not you're not allowed to slide in now. It's not your time. You just watch him over there.
Carolina fans have gotten mad at me today because the suggestion I've made, and State fans have something to argue against you now, and you can't do history, because if you want to talk to a high school kid, what does 2017 or 2015 mean to a high school kid? It might as well be 83 or 74 that you're talking about. Like, State has a Final Four, which is as far as Duke or Carolina's gone in the last 7 years.
Yeah, it's. I thought about this today, Josh. NC State men now have the only coach in the triangle with an ACC title and a Final Four appearance. You haven't been able to say that since Everett Case in 1950, and they didn't even call it the Final Four back then. And it was like I think it was a 12-team field. So it's bonkers to think about it in that context. And obviously, again, we should take these moments to take a half a step back and recognize how awesome Mike Krzyzewski really was and how great Roy Williams and Dean Smith really were for so long at Carolina, that you have these moments that State has, and they're magnified because it's like a half of a Halley's Comet. We'll call it the Wolfpack Comet.
I'd be fascinated to see what RDU flights Friday look like to get to Phoenix.
I was just looking a couple of minutes ago. It's not good. Even the ones to Vegas are no joke.
Hey, I know a great airport that's maybe a little bit down the road that's in the Triad that you could easily get out if you need to go somewhere. Okay. I'm just saying, Jim Phillips, not a big fan of that airport, but we love that airport for good reason for times like this. That's how I escaped to get to the Final Four a few years ago. Joe Giglio, Ovius Giglio Podcast. Keep up the great work what you guys are doing. Strongly recommend, if you haven't already, go on YouTube, subscribe to what they do. It's fantastic stuff. look forward to see what's to come this week on what's been an unprecedented type of week in recent memory.
Appreciate you having me on, man. And make sure you're nice to WD.
Tell him.
For taking my audio and taking care of me.
Tell him.